Okay, so if you are new with us, then you may not know, we are marveling at our salvation. Our salvation is not just this ticket to heaven. It's not just like, you don't just like get saved and then all, and then you get to go to heaven and then that's the end of the list. Nope, God wants us to have, Jesus gives us life and gives it to the full. John 10:10, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. And that doesn't mean like fancy cars and stuff like that. It means more like emotional, spiritual fullness. God wants you to experience Him on a deep level. And it's wonderful and it's awesome and it's amazing because the more of Him we can get here on planet Earth, the better our lives are, right? How many of you know that during the times when you're worshiping Jesus and living for Him, your life is better than it is when it's not? Even if everything is like crappy when you're worshiping Him, because still when you're going through the hard times, right, if you've got Jesus going with you, then that's good. You're still good. That's how life works for us. So Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. And so we've talked about a myriad of things that almost a year I've been here. And so we've been stuck in love. We got to love as a gift, a benefit of our salvation. And we've been stuck here for like 3 months or something like that. So we got to 1 Corinthians 13, 7 or 4, I mean, 4 through 7. And this is the scripture we've been reading. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so that's what we have been using as our definition of love. That's what we've been talking about. And you can see that when you look at this in list form, that this is not something that one romantic weekend will take you from, like one romantic weekend to happily ever after. It doesn't work like that. It takes all this work. If you're going to love somebody through all of the hard stuff, then this is what it's, this is what you have to do. If you say, I love you to somebody, then this is what you mean. And that's like one romantic weekend, one romantic movie is not going to get you through. I've told him to put that toilet seat down a million times. It's not going to get through that. You have to lean into this list. So as we've been working our way, we spent a week on patience, spent a week on kindness, and so we've made our way all the way to where we're almost to the end. We're to believes all things. This will be probably the hardest thing that I teach yet. It may not be the hardest to live out. It is the hardest for me to wrap my mind around what the Lord is actually trying to say. And so as we do this every week, we answer five questions. What is it? How is God like this? What is it like to love your neighbor this way, your family this way, or your God this way? And this believes all things has vexed me since I was a teenager. When I very first started reading the Word, because back then I was reading the NIV, and the NIV translates this section, believes all things, as always trusts. And so what I have really struggled with for the majority of my Christian life, and I've put a lot of study into this week and before we got to here, if always trust is right, then you would never lock your doors. You would give, somebody known to be a thief your money to go deposit it for you, right? If you're always, so I have really struggled with this. And so here's my disclaimer. I am just a dude. I'm just a regular dude. I've been to some Bible college, right? But I'm not Mr. Advanced Degrees. I'm just a guy who has a Bible. I have the same access to Jesus as you do. Okay, there's nothing particularly special about me. I'm just a guy. Now, I've put a lot of study into this, but all the study that I've done, you can do. And so as we go through this, just know, I am struggling to teach this. I'm giving you the best of what I think it is. But if you want to dive in there, then by all means, dive in there, and we can dive in together. This phrase has vexed me for years. So I'm going to do my best to get through it. The word there, pistuo, is a Greek word, okay, for believes all things, pistuo, and I practiced that about a zillion times trying to say that this week, pistuo. You can go to Blue Letter Bible and he'll pronounce it for you, pistuo. Anyway, it's got some Y's in it. Anyway, that means many different things. It means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit or to place confidence in, to believe, like it was translated, believe, commit one's trust, be committed unto, to put one's trust in. So it means a lot of different things. This pistuo means a lot of different things. I will say this. This is a very easy scripture when you're talking about your relationship with Jesus. If you are going to get saved, the only way to get saved is to pistuo Jesus, to place your confidence in, to believe in. You can always trust him. You can always you can always believe in everything. There's, he's never wronged you. There's nothing. So this is very easy when you're just dealing with your relationship with God. To pistuo Jesus is, well, maybe not easy, but it's easier in the sense that Jesus is not going to break your trust in the way that the humans in this room will break your trust. The problem is that while this word doesn't necessarily mean trust, there is the connotation of trust. It's part of, if you're going to put your faith in somebody, then you're placing trust in that somebody. And what I have struggled with for years is just that point. How can I always trust? And again, I don't like that translation. I don't like the way the NIV says that. But if I'm going to always put my faith in somebody, if I'm going to always believe in somebody, how can I do that with the fallibility of people, right? Because people are going to fail you. So I think I've worked out what I'm giving you is the best that I've got. I think probably the best way to translate this would be to, like, always has faith in. That's sort of the, if I were translating the Bible, I think that's how I would translate it. But that's what we're going to go with this week. And we're gonna move into how is God like this? All right, because that's what we answer every week. Okay, has faith in himself. Okay, he definitely has faith in himself. Right? If we're talking about how is God like this? He has faith in himself, and we can prove that through the Word in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. So when God got ready to bless Abraham, he blessed him. Sometimes you hear, I swear on my mama's grave, or, you know, you hear that kind of talk in movie language. I don't normally hear, like, regular people saying stuff like that, but you hear that on TV. I swear on my kids' lives or whatever. So the problem is God can't swear on anything else because he's the biggest. There's nothing else to swear by because he is champion. He's the top of the food chain. He's everything. There's nothing bigger to him, nothing bigger than him to swear on. So he has to swear on himself. So does God pistuo himself? Absolutely, he does. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 28. I read you this scripture last week. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has put his faith in you. He has put his trust in you. Now, hear this. Our job, our responsibility is to take the goodness of God and spread it among the earth. That's our job. Our job is to tell people, not just at Elston Family Church, but in Lafayette, Indiana, in Tippecanoe, Indiana, in Indiana at large, in the United States, all over the entire world. That's our job. That's the task we've been assigned to do. Right? That's why God, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but that's why God put Israel where he put it. Because if you're traveling from Europe to Africa, which was a huge trade route back in then you had to go through there. If you're going to go the shortest path anyway, or take a boat. So if you're going, then that's how you're going so that you can hear. He put them right there so they can hear about his goodness. That's the whole point of Israel being where it is. That's the whole why, is because of that trade route right there. That's the idea. God knew this from the beginning. He wanted his name to be made great from the beginning. That's the whole idea. Now, catch this. There's no backup plan. If we don't do our jobs, there's no backup plan. God doesn't have another set of humans he's going to bring down, or he's not going to open up the sky and let the angels start witnessing to people. He's put his trust in, he's put his faith in us to do the job. And I'll be honest, we ain't doing great, but we're making headway. You know, as a group, we're making headway. You know, like India still needs to hear a lot of Jesus. China still needs to hear a lot about Jesus. There's places all over planet Earth that still need to hear about Jesus. And we're doing okay, you know, but we're not doing great. And then honestly, you know, people in Lafayette, Indiana need to hear it. The people in front of you and behind you in the grocery line, they need to hear it too. That's our job, right? And so we as a group, it's not, you know, we're not doing great. We're not doing terrible. I guess God is really the judge of that. So God has put his faith in us, and there is no backup plan. Now let's read another one. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Now listen to this. Don't take any money with you, nor travel's bag, nor any extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Now, here's where I have struggled with this the most. And this is the best explanation that I can come up with. This is Jesus as a human giving his guys a job. Now, there's 72 of them. He's going to go to 36 towns, right? So if Jesus was in Lafayette, he'd be like, okay, I'm going to send you two to Delphi, you two to Romney, you two to Linden, you two to Monticello, you two to Idaville, which who could find Idaville? They probably never made it. Anyway, the point is he sent them out in two-by-two mission trips. That's what the idea was, is to send them out. Here and go. Now, when you go, don't take any money. Don't take any extra anything. I'm going to take care of you. So here's the best I got for you. I really believe that trust among humans has got to be circular on some level or another. It's got to be, because Jesus put his faith in, he put his trust in, he believed in them to do their job. He said, you do this half, I'll do this half. You take it, you go and be the mouthpiece for me, and I will feed you, I'll clothe you, I'll take care of you. And that's the best I can come up with. And I think that if somebody breaks the trust, then that's got to be rebuilt. I mean, at the most extreme sense of this word, because how we're supposed to love God is how we're supposed to love people, right? It's largely the same. This pistuo is not just meant for God himself. We're not supposed to just pistuo God himself. We're meant to pistuo each other, right? So I think the most extreme sense of this word would literally be always trusting. But I just don't think it works that way among humans. I just don't think, because we're evil and we're horrible people. I mean, you know, my wife is wonderful, I can't trust her always. She hurts my feelings sometimes, right? I mean, it's just part of life. You guys, you're looking at me like, she's perfect. No, she's not. I promise she's not. She's kind of a mess sometimes. Anyway, the point is, Even those who are awesome humans are still just that. They're still just humans, and they're going to fail you. They're going to fail you. And I think there has to be sort of a two-way street when it comes to trust. I think that as I put my trust in you, you put your trust in me, and we're meant to move along like that. I also think of the story when Jesus was setting them up for the triumphal entry. Jesus said, "I want to ride a donkey. You guys go and get it." And he sent them and gave them the instructions to do so. Had they not put their trust in Jesus, there'd been no donkey. Had Jesus not trusted them, he'd have had to go get his own donkey. Do you see what I'm saying? I think that trust is circular in that sense, that putting your faith in, having confidence in people is circular, and it requires a give and a take. Again, I think in an extreme sense of this, like the way we're really meant to be, I think we're really meant to trust people always. I just don't see how that is how it's just possible with people. I just don't see. But now you can see, like as I stand up here and blubber, like you can see how like this has been for me. I have a hard time wrapping my head around this. But I think that trust is meant to be, and putting your faith in is meant to be circular. Okay. So if that's the case, then how do we love our neighbor this way? All right, so we're going to read a scripture here. This is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. One day when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Listen to this. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. So in the place of absolute trust in every human you always meet, always, in the place of that, in a sense where we work circular together, where our trust is together, then I think we have to assume the best of everybody you meet. Of every text message that you get, I think that's the very base of this. Just assume that people are not out to get you, right? But some of us really struggle with this. Some of us have trouble trusting anybody, even those closest to us in our lives. Some of us have trouble trusting anybody, much less somebody they've never met before. And so we as a group, I think the very base level of this is just naturally assume the best of everybody you meet. So let's talk about this. Panhandlers. It was illegal in Kentucky for a long time to panhandle. You couldn't do it. And then they changed that law, and then it was like the next day, panhandlers just showed up everywhere in our town. In fact, the city, it became such a problem that the city would hang signs over like where they would hang out. And so there'd be a sign right over the guy that would say, "Panhandling is not the best way to hand out money. You know, here, go to this website, and we've got lots of resources for you to help people." Anyway, we have a natural distrust of panhandlers. Now, I'll just tell you this, and this is my personal opinion. This is not in the Bible. This is just my personal opinion. I don't give anybody a dime unless I feel like the Holy Spirit has told me to do so, and I will not feel any guilt for that, because that's just my relationship with the Lord. If I'm standing beside some guy with the saddest sign you ever saw, and he's with the saddest face or whatever, I'm not giving him a penny unless I feel like the Holy Spirit tells me to do so. Now, after I give him that money, it's his money. So if he chooses to spend it on drugs, that's on him. If he chooses to spend it on alcohol, if he chooses to spend it on clothes, all of that is on him. That's his money now. It's not yours. So we naturally distrust panhandlers, just assuming that they drive nice cars and that they're whatever, they're good people or whatever, or they're faking their situation in life. Maybe, maybe not. That's none of our business. Our job is just to assume the best, and if God laid it on our heart to give them money, then give them the money. I think we as a group do not naturally assume the best. How about this? You see your coworker going to lunch with your boss. Do you naturally assume that your coworker has good intentions, or do you naturally assume that they're going in there to hamstring you? Do you naturally assume that they're just going to suck up so they can get the promotion that's coming up? I think that our I think our job, the very base level of this, is to trust and assume the best out of both people in that group. Or your husband or your wife comes home and tells you the story about how funny such and such was, right? I think our job is to assume the best. It's not, my husband's not actually cheating on me. He just thought the story that girl told was funny, right? I think that's our job. So, but here's where we get, I think I'm going to hit most common for us. I've got three pictures for us. Ben, you and I did not discuss the order. I want to do what's wrong first. Got it. Okay. So this right here is the source of a lot of frustration in our lives. Okay? This question could be asked a multitude of ways. Like if you have body language and tone of voice, then you can understand. Because you could read this, what's wrong? Or you could read this, what's wrong? You could read that both ways. And sometimes, like if you've had a spat with your wife that morning, then you're reading it with the angry voice, right? That's not assuming the best. So, and this happens, this is not just something that happens husband and wife. Now, I mean, we're talking about husband and wife. In fact, now I'm kind of stepping on my later notes because what does it mean to love your family this way? But this happens also with your coworkers. This happens when you're just texting people about normal things. There's misunderstanding. Let's go to the next one. We need to talk. And I even put a little uh-oh in there because that's how most of us would respond. But this could be we need to talk about lots of things. It could be a thing where you need to talk, you and your spouse need to talk about some sort of frustration that's happening between the two of you. Or it could just be we need to talk about what groceries you need this week. We need to talk about, whatever, your job, what it could be a multitude of things. We need to talk about our kids or a misbehavior situation or grades or that sort of thing. It could be a lot of things, but we just naturally assume when we get that text, we just naturally assume the worst. All right. Or here's one more. Let's give him the next one. Can you stop by the store on the way home? That's okay. I'll ask her. That doesn't make any sense. That response makes no sense. And we get text messages like that, don't we? Or sometimes you get a text message like, I love you from somebody, like one of your dude friends or whatever. You're like, what? Like, and it's just a mistype or it's a what? Or they sent it to the wrong person. Confusion happens. So just assume the best. That's okay. I'll ask her. What does that even mean? So then, like, you know, do you respond with an angry face and a question mark? How do you, like, what do you naturally assume? Now, let me say this. Please, please, please don't fight over text message. Please, if it becomes, like, if there's a thing you don't understand, then just call. I know that people under, like, whatever, 30, like, hate to hear the phone ring. You're afraid of it. But I promise it's so much better than getting into some kind of argument. Talking to somebody will fix the problem. Texting with somebody will not fix the problem. And I mean, you can get a text this long and there's very little information in it. It's just all misconfusion. And so we as a group have to assume the best of the people we're dealing with. I feel like from a very base level, if we're going to believe all things, if we're going to pastuo, then the very base level of this is just assume the best. Okay, so what would it be like to love your family this way? Well, this text messaging thing goes a long way towards talking about loving your family this way. Just being married is pastuo. Okay, just being married. We got two couples in this church who are in the next couple of months are going to stand together and they're going to say, I believe in you, I trust in you, we're going to do this thing, baby, forever. Just being married is putting the pastuo to work. And it's not going to be easy. Not every day. It's not going to be easy every day. But that's going to be your job. I mean, Shannon and I, we have to trust one another. We have to believe the best out of one another. We have to, like, forever. That's the deal. That's what we signed up for. Just that relationship alone says, apostuo you. Okay? And that's what you're signing up for. So those two couples in here, right? That's what you're signing up for. It's not too late. I'm just saying. It's a wonderful relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. You know, but it's got its ups and downs, for sure. And pastuo is hard. Pastuo is hard. To always put your trust in is hard. Okay, I'm going to give you the same thing with kids. Just having kids, just like having children, is that relationship. I'm putting my trust in you. Now, it's a little more one-sided because they're putting their trust in you a little more than you are in them. But if you decide to have children, then that's just kind of what you're signing up for, is to put trust in your kids. Kids, that's your job, is to put trust in your parents, to believe that they want the best for you. I know that it's hard to believe when you're, you know, young that your parents actually care about you, but it's true, they do, and they want what's best for you. This is very difficult things. Okay, now what would it be like to love God this way? Now, you know, I told you that that just putting your faith in Jesus, just believing in him and becoming a Christian, requires that pastuo to come out of you. But there's a little bit more. I just want to say a little bit more here. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. The King James says, it just fell right out of my brain. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I like the way that says that. Let God be true and every man a liar. Everybody you've ever met, everybody, there's no human that you've ever met that is not going to break your trust. They're despicable. They are broken. They are sad. We as a group are sinful and wicked. And so we're all going to break trust with one another. Like even as your pastor, and I love you guys, I really do. I pray for you a lot, a lot, a lot. I care about you a lot, a lot, a lot. I'm still going to fail you. I am. But we don't have to worry about that with God. Though even the very best of humans are still going to fail us, God will not. He will not fail you. And we've been over this for a few weeks in a row, but I'm going to say it one more time, that God has never wronged you. Nothing has ever happened in your life that you can be like, oh, that was terrible, and I'm blaming it on God. Now, God might call you to move to Africa, or he might call you to do something you don't want to do, but it's still for your good and for his glory. And that's awesome. That's what you want. That's what you want, the hard things in life, for that very reason. But even though every man a liar, God is true. He's always good. So you can always pastuo him. You can all, like this book, read this book. I don't know how many of you guys actually spend time in this book during the week. But please read it. It's so good. All of this stuff that I'm giving to you this morning, all of it with the exception of how I handle panhandlers, is all in here. It's all in here, and you guys can, that wasn't even supposed to be a joke. It's all in here. You can absorb all of that info from here. You can learn so much about our God by reading this book. Plus, you can find out if I even know what I'm talking about. I mean, I might have just stood up here and give you a bunch of gibberish, but you can prove it in here. Believes all things is hard. I think at the core of it is to literally trust everybody always. I think that is the core of it. I think we as humans are going to really struggle with that, but I think that is the core of it. And we're not very good at that. But by God's grace, we can get better. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are awesome, you're wonderful, you're terrific. God, thank you that we can put our faith in, we can put our trust in, we can put our confidence in you. God, even though everybody else will fail us, God, you will not. And we worship you for that. Lord, as we go from here, Lord, help us to trust you all week long. God, help us to trust people more than we have been. God, to put our faith in people more than we have been. God, to put our hearts out there a little bit more, Father, this week than we would have last week. God, help us to grow in our love, to increase and abound our love towards everybody, including you. God, you're good, you're holy, you are awesome, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week. God bless you.